Good afternoon, and welcome to the Covanta Holding Corporation third quarter conference call. This call is being recorded, and an archived recording will be available after the end of the conference call and can be accessed through the Debt Investor Information section of the Covanta Investor Relations website. At this time, I'd like to turn the call over to Jim Riley, Covanta's treasurer. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Andrea, and thank you, everyone, for joining us this afternoon. With me on the call is Greg Kamm, our CFO. Today, we'll be discussing our third quarter results, which were released earlier today. After our prepared remarks, we'll take your questions. During the prepared remarks, we will be referencing certain slides that we prepared to supplement the call. Those slides can be accessed now or after the call on the Investor Relations section of our website, www.covanta.com. These prepared remarks should be listened to in conjunction with these slides. Call participants should also see the earnings release for a discussion of our usage of forward-looking statements and non-GAAP financial measures. Before I turn the call over to Greg, I'd like to quickly cover a couple points relating to the separation of the European business. As previously disclosed, the formal separation of the European business took place effective July 2, 2022. So our third quarter results, including our 930 balance sheet, reflect only the North American business. We did not restate prior periods to exclude the European business. So as a result, prior year period results still include Europe and will continue to do so until the European operations are anniversaried out of our financials next year. Our earnings deck provides, and we will continue to provide you with the detail required to make the necessary adjustments to strip out Europe from results. In our prepared remarks today, we will speak only to the North American business. With that, I'd like to turn the call over to Greg.
Thanks, Jim, and good afternoon, everyone, and thanks you for joining. Before I discuss Q3 results, I'd like to provide an update on our recently announced acquisitions. A key component of EQT's investment thesis in acquiring Covanta was the compelling value creation opportunity that exists in increasing our profiled waste volumes. Each of our recently announced acquisitions represents key investments and milestones in that journey and collectively offer unique platforms to expand our geographic footprint, grow our customer base, and further diversify our zero waste to landfill and carbon negative offerings. Since the EQT acquisition last year, we've now invested over $100 million to build out our sustainable materials management capabilities. With SGS Recovery, Buffalo Fuel Corp, and Frontier Fibers, Covanta has acquired three companies well-positioned near our waste energy and material processing facilities in Western New York that bring along not only an experienced management team and synergistic industrial customer base, but also represents a solid foundation on which to build our capabilities in alternate engineered fuels and waste-to-product services. We see significant opportunity to continue to grow each of the acquired businesses, and we look forward to updating you further on our progress in the coming year. Now turning back to our third quarter financial results. I'll review certain key performance indicators on slide 3. Overall, the business delivered solid results in the third quarter that demonstrate the resilience of our business model. Our third quarter results in the waste energy business were fairly straightforward, although production volumes were a bit lower than the prior year for reasons which I'll explain shortly. Waste tip fee pricing growth and non-commodity pricing generally remained quite strong. We experienced additional unplanned downtime at a few plants heading into the maintenance outages during the quarter, which had a negative impact on volumes processed in the quarter, and Hurricane Ian also impacted volumes at certain of our Florida plants. Overall, we expect calendar 2022 waste energy plant production and boiler availability to be down slightly from the prior year, reflecting these impacts as well as the increased outage days experienced earlier in the year as we execute a broader maintenance scope. I note that these modest levels of variability production on a quarter-to-quarter basis, both positive and negative, are not unusual for Covanta historically and have tended to even out over time. That said, our executive management team is intently focused on improving our availability statistics and delivering more consistent boiler performance over time. To that end, over the past months, we've begun to perform reviews of our waste energy plants and have identified opportunities to optimize our preventative maintenance practices as well as our plant outage execution. Successfully executing on these opportunities is a key initiative for 2023. These initiatives will require incremental capital investments over the coming months, and we are confident that the expected availability improvements will provide a good return to improve reliability. Moving on to pricing, waste energy tip fees were up 6.1% year over year, reflecting a combination of inflation-linked escalation under long-term contracts, improved pricing on new contracts, and a favorable waste mix, including profiled waste volumes. In energy, higher electricity prices continue to provide a material benefit, with average realized price up over 28% year over year. During the quarter, we also increased the fixed profile of our power production to 3.3 million megawatts from 3.1 million megawatts at the end of Q2, and following our historical hedging practice, programmatically rolled out our hedging into calendar 2025 in order to reduce variability in our energy market exposure. Currently, we have roughly 83% of our production either hedged or under contract through calendar year 2024, and just under 50% through calendar 2025 hedged or contracted. Lastly, turning to recycled metals, ferrous pricing, after posting strong year-over-year gains in the first half, declined sharply, down 36% year-over-year during the third quarter, as increased uncertainty in part surrounding China's lockdown and hostilities in Ukraine negatively impacted scrap demand. Ferrous revenue per ton in the quarter, hitting $242 a ton in Q2, declined to $154 per ton, with ferrous scrap pricing sitting now just above historic 10-year averages. As for volume, consistent with first-half results, ferrous tons recovered and sold were also down roughly 7% versus prior year. This year-over-year decline in tons shouldn't be interpreted to mean that there's less metal in our ash. Rather, the most significant contributor to the year-over-year volume decline stems from the fact we're more aggressive in our efforts to increase yield in 2021 when metal prices were higher and comfortably offset related transportation and disposal costs. In 2022, as prices have declined, we have moderated our efforts in order to strike a better balance between yield and cost. Switching to non-ferrous, non-ferrous pricing also declined in the second quarter, though to a much smaller extent than ferrous. Non-ferrous pricing generally remains on the high end of its historical range. Non-ferrous tons recovered are down for the same reason as ferrous noted above. Tons sold, however, were up year over year primarily due to normal variations in timing between shipments and revenue recognition. With respect to power and recycled metals, we as a management team are focused on what we can control. Although we can't control market prices, we can have and intend to take definitive actions to further mitigate the impact of commodity price volatility on the business. On the power side, consistent with past practice, we remain committed to our long-standing, disciplined risk management program. On the metal side, it's important to understand that increased metal extraction serves us well, as it reduces our per-ton cost of disposal. As a result, we plan to continue to invest capital in targeted enhanced systems to increase metal recovery and improve quality. As the quantity and quality of our recycled metals improves, we have the opportunity to convert certain of our commercial contracts to metals indices that have a tradable futures contract and aim in coming quarters to update you on initial progress in managing our metal price risk with fixed price swaps on certain of our metals volumes. Lastly, although we remain committed to continue to pursue enhanced non-ferrous metal recovery and beneficial ash reuse, we have recently made the decision to temporarily suspend operations at our existing ash processing line at Fairless Hills while we work on an improved redesign that we're confident can achieve the required commercial throughput. We'll provide further updates as that effort progresses. Returning to Q3 results, I will now discuss the year-over-year drivers of revenue more specifically. Please refer to slide 4. North American revenue was $566 million in the third quarter, up 6.7% from the prior year. Higher energy prices, despite having the great majority of our output already hedged or contracted, as well as contributions from the sale of renewable energy certificates, contributed $20 million to revenue growth. As previously noted, waste tip fees prices increased by roughly 6% year over year, or $12 million in revenue terms. In addition, improved waste flows from service fee clients and contractual escalators led to a $7 million increase in service fee revenue. Our material processing facilities had another great quarter with revenues up $17 million year over year. We continue to see solid growth prospects ahead at our MPS as demand for our menu of sustainable options continue to increase as commercial and industrial customers are increasingly looking for non-landfill alternatives for the waste revenue streams. Moving to adjusted EBITDA for the quarter, adjusted EBITDA was $162 million in the third quarter, up from $161 million in the prior year. Strong commodity pricing, particularly energy, flowed directly from revenue to adjusted EBITDA, offset by an increase in maintenance expense during the quarter, as well as lower metal yield and higher inflation, particularly for chemical reagents and fuel. Turning to page six, we can see a change in free cash flow quarter to quarter. Third quarter free cash flow was $58 million, down $12 million from the prior year. Higher cash interest costs represented $10 million of this negative variance. The increased cash interest is in due part to a higher quantum of debt in the new EQ2 capital structure and in part to rising variable rates on a portion of our capital structure that isn't fixed, which is roughly 30%. Favorable working capital benefit in the period was offset by higher capital spending and EBITDA neutral expenses. Now turning to the year-to-date results, I'll begin with revenue on slide 7. We generated $1,662 million of revenue in the 9 months ended September 30th, 2022, up 9.5% from the prior year. Once again, higher energy prices, even with much of our output already hedged, as well as the contribution from renewable energy certificates, contributed $68 million to revenue growth. For the year-to-date period, metal prices were still modestly higher than the prior year, contributing $3 million to growth. As previously noted, higher tip fee prices contribute $32 million in revenue terms. In addition, improved waste flows from service fee clients and contractual escalators led to a $19 million increase in service fee revenue. Material processing facilities revenue were up $41 million year over year. We continue to see solid growth prospects ahead for our MPFs. These combined revenue increases more than offset the negative impact of lower production volumes and lower metal yields. Moving to adjusted EBITDA for the 9 months, I'll refer to slide 8. Adjusted EBITDA was $405 million for the 9 months ended September 30, 2022, up $42 million or over 11% from $363 million in the prior period. The significant contribution from higher commodity pricing was offset by higher maintenance expense of $7 million and $14 million of increase in other. A lot of puts and takes in this other column, so I'll try to unpack it as simply as possible. First, it's important to note that the previously mentioned strength in tip fee and service fee pricing is captured in this line and contributed over $50 million in benefit during the period. Although these waste pricing gains effectively offset inflation we experienced in fuel, chemicals, and transportation costs, the negative variance of prior year stems primarily from year-over-year decline in production volumes coupled with the previously discussed lower metal yields. Now please turn to slide 9 where I'll walk through the free cash flow on a year-to-date basis. Free cash flow for the 9 months ended September 30th was $103 million, down $39 million from the prior year. Higher adjusted EBITDA was insufficient to offset increased maintenance and growth capital expenditures, higher cash interest costs resulting from the new capital structure and rising interest rate, as well as other cash costs comprised primarily EBITDA neutral costs such as consulting and legal fees. Coventus' business model generates significant cash flow over time. However, maintenance capital and investment to date has been elevated relative to prior year, and we foresee continued investment required to achieve targeted plantability improvements, complete critical HS&E initiatives, as well as continue to grow the business. Our capital allocation decisions remain focused and committed on making the investments necessary to lay a foundation for future top and bottom line growth, which we believe provides the best way to enhance the value of Covanta's business and improve Covanta's credit profile over time. Turning to the balance sheet on slide 10. We ended the quarter with $3.4 billion in gross debt. On a pro forma basis, our total consolidated debt ratio as defined in the indenture to the 29 notes and consistent with corresponding measure in our credit agreement was 5.27 times at September 30th. Our liquidity position remained strong and improved from the end of the second quarter. We had $450 million of unused revolver capacity at quarter end. Looking ahead, our projected cash flow generation, coupled with unutilized revolver capacity, will provide ample liquidity to continue to maintain the business, invest for growth, as well support the risk management program. To touch briefly on energy risk management, as you know, we have roughly 80% of our forecasted output swapped to fixed price through the calendar year 2024. As of September 30th, we had posted $138 million in cash and letters of credit as margin against these positions, essentially unchanged from our balance sheet on June 30th. We have made significant progress on reducing exposure to incremental cash margin calls by successfully transitioning more counterparties to lien-based collateral. The mark-to-market liability on our energy hedge book as of September 30th was approximately $312 million, with approximately 90% of this liability under lien-based collateral agreements or otherwise unsecured. We plan to continue to work to transition one remaining counterparty to lien and reduce our collateral requirements further, but we expect in any case that such requirements remain a fact of our business for the foreseeable future as we navigate through this period of positive but volatile energy pricing. That said, we feel strongly that the current environment of structurally higher energy pricing enhances rather than detracts from the value of our business and strengthens our credit profile. We remain confident that we have ample liquidity to maintain our highly hedged profile going forward. In conclusion, business conditions overall continue broadly supportive of Covanta's business model, and we're focused on delivering strong growth in adjusted EBITDA on a year-over-year basis in 2022. With that, we'll move to Q&A. Operator, please open the line for questions.
We will now begin the question and answer session. To ask a question, you may press star then one on your touch-tone phone. If you are using a speakerphone, please pick up your handset before pressing the keys. To withdraw your question, please press star then two. Once again, that was star then one to ask a question, and at this time, we will pause momentarily to assemble the roster. And our first question will come from Paul Nicholson of McKay Shields. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks very much for taking my question. My first one was just on, there's an element of your energy revenue that's called wholesale load serving, and I believe that was negative in the quarter, and the year-over-year variance was negative $12 million. I think you say in the note that it relates to transmission and ancillary services. I'm curious what exactly is that, and is that, you know, is that flowing down to EBITDA, or is that somehow offset at other places in your business? Thanks.
Hey, Paul, this is Jim. I think the best way to think about BGS, that program in New Jersey and that whole wholesale load serving is almost like it's like a fixed priced hedge, right? It's another means for us to fix price for a longer tenor. The contracts that we had, the last is rolling off in this coming April. So come April 23, we're going to be out of the BGS program, and you know we'll fix price as we've traditionally done with just financial hedges. But so the way to think about that negative variance in year over year here is similar to our swaps, candidly, right? We fixed at a price that's below current market. The accounting for BGS, we can cover that offline if you're interested, Paul. There's a piece in revenue and pieces elsewhere, but I think it's best to kind of think of it as it's negative 12 based on price, candidly, right?
Okay, fair enough. No, that explanation was super helpful. And then sorry, I did jump on a little bit late, so sorry if I missed the review of this. But could you just briefly cover why, given all the positive elements around landfill constraints in the Northeast, why are your waste volumes down in this quarter? It looks like this is not a high maintenance quarter. Your boiler availability was relatively strong. I'm just struggling to see what's driving that, and why do you think that trend might reverse in coming quarters? Thanks.
Yeah, we did have some unscheduled downtime, particularly related to the hurricanes in Florida impacting negatively, and some other unscheduled downtime in the quarter, scheduled undowntime. But we do expect our plant and boiler reliability to improve over time as we continue to review our plants and invest for improved reliability in the coming quarters. So there's nothing very specific in there, except we had the impact of the hurricane during the quarter in Florida.
Okay, that's perfect. Thank you very much, and that's all for me.
The next question comes from Kareem Mansour of White Box Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. Can you let me know, do you have any sort of interest rate hedges in place?
Kareem, yes, we do. We have $500 million notional swap through the end of 2026, I believe. It was kind of 5 years in conjunction or shortly after the EQT acquisition, which brings our kind of fixed floating mix, as Greg had mentioned. You know, we're about 70% fixed, 30% floating right now.
Okay. And my second question is, this quarter showed just a little bit of margin compression. Knowing that ferrous prices are coming down, you guys have seen a pretty substantial tailwind from that over the past few quarters. Is there any expectation that on a sequential basis, margins will continue to compress a little bit, whether that be 50 to 100 basis points?
You know, our current view of the metal pricing, that's sort of at the 10-year average right now as we sit, and maybe a little bit higher. So we don't expect the tailwinds from metals in 2023 that we had in 2022. We're currently building our plans right now for 2023. And we expect our margins to be in line in 2023, in line with 22, as we implement additional price increases during the quarter, which was scheduling, which we've had. And there's more price scheduled for the first half of 2023 as well, as we take advantage of market opportunities.
And you talked about the fact that you had some downtime at a couple of those plants. Knowing that they're going to come online in 4Q, is there the expectation that increased volumes will be able to more than offset any potential decrease in pricing, whether that be ferrous or non-ferrous?
Yeah, so in total for the business, we expect significant volume increases within our MPS as we focus on that. Increased pricing, spot pricing, and built-in escalators we have in our service level of contracts to offset inflationary pressure we have going into 2023.
Understood. That's it for me.
The next question comes from David Salpeter of Citadel. Please go ahead.
Hey guys, thanks for the call. I just want to talk a little bit about the maintenance expense under cost of operations, and I obviously that was down substantially this quarter from recent quarters, and I know you said that there's a lot of variability there on timing. Just what should we think about that being going forward on an annualized basis, and then how should we think about sort of seasonality or quarterly cadence or in that number?
Yeah, typically our outage schedule is more heavy in the first half of the calendar year, which we expect to have. We do have plans to have elevated CapEx from historical levels, and we're going through annual plan now, which we're aiming to increase reliability and boiler availability as we move from the second half to the first half. So I think that's what we could say.
Got it. I mean, on a go-forward basis, like, how should we think about sort of what the right annual run rate is for that number on a holistic basis? Like, is that closer, you know, 350 million area about right, or how should we think about that?
Yeah, like I said, we're going through our plans right now, and we're putting them together. We have our, you know, we have a new management team in place, some new executives. They're looking at our maintenance schedule and looking at improved plant availability and reliability. I think we'll have more to report at the end of Q4 what that looks like. But we will have, I would say, somewhat level of higher CapEx costs going into next year as we improve plant reliability, which will have returns on investment. It's not just, you know, non-return maintenance expense. So we're trying to look at it holistically as opposed to looking just every project one at a time.
Okay, thank you.
The next question comes from Yana Manukian of Vibrant Capital Partners. Please go ahead.
Hi, just a quick question for me. On slide 10 in the capitalization table, I was wondering if you could please break out the $1.7 billion in secured debt, just by how much of that is revolver, Term Loan B, Term Loan C, and I think there's another secured debt in that number as well.
Yep. Again, I just, Jim, just give me one second to pull something up here. But
sure, no problem.
Got the. I know at quarter end we had $70 million drawn on the revolver, and the. The term loan would have been, you know, roughly $1.435 billion at quarter end there. The other pieces in the secured debt bucket are going to be our equipment financing obligations and our domestic project debt. And those balances, I'm looking to see if the queue had them broken out. But I recall domestic project debt at about 100 to 105 million. So the difference being our equipment lease obligations, and which are, you know, in the kind of mid 40s ranges, which I think fills out the number.
Yep, that's very helpful. Thank you so much.
The next question comes from David Saad of Sixth Street. Please go ahead.
Hey, good afternoon. Thanks for taking the question. I just had one follow-up on the tons processed that you had in the quarter. So outside of the boiler availability being down, did you guys see any volume or demand softness from customers, or was it really just that the facilities weren't running as much as they were last year?
Yeah, we essentially never see demand. We run the plants full. It's never a matter of getting the physical tons. It's either scheduled, unscheduled downtime or unusual impact such as the hurricane. So the plants never really run dry because we can't get it.
Great. Thank you.
The next question comes from Julian Goldberg of Credit Suisse Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hey, thanks for taking the question. I just had a few quick ones related to the UK carve-out. So just first of all, looking at the cash flow statement, I see this $25 million cash outflow in the quarter, which is labeled as separation of European business. Just wondering if you could elaborate a bit more on what exactly that outflow is for.
Hi, Julian. This is Jim. Yeah, that $25 million was essentially the cash on hand at the European subsidiaries, you know, on July 2nd. But what I'd like to note on that is, you know, unlike the, you know, the funding that had come earlier in the year, right, that $25 million represents cash that was kind of generated by the European subs on the O&M side. So, you know, I make a distinction there between the kind of funding from the North American balance sheet and cash on hand at the time of the separation.
Okay, thank you. That's helpful. And then just wanted to confirm, the North American entity didn't take in any dividend from the UK entity this quarter?
Not this quarter. There were $16 million earlier in the year, though, pre-separation.
Okay. And should we expect those dividends to continue, and sort of at what cadence would it kind of be similar to that $16
yeah.
million? Okay.
Now with the separation, Jillian, there'll be no more, you know, now that the two businesses are distinct, so there'll be no more cross-border flows.
Yeah, we have no involvement with that business except providing some shared services for the next few months until they completely separate. It's a different owner. We may have the same owner, but we're not part of our company.
Okay, so wouldn't expect to see any cash coming in or out relative to that entity.
The only thing that would come in is covering costs that we have as we have some shared services we're finishing up and on the separation. So it'll be minimal.
Okay, got it. And then just lastly, is there any update on EQT's plans for that entity, any sort of sale process or kind of TBD on that front?
Yeah, it's not part of our we'd be talking out of school to talk about their plans related to that business. It's really separate. We really have no involvement with that business.
Okay. Thank you so much. That's it for me.
Welcome.
The next question comes from Tom Hanrahan of Putnam Investments. Please go ahead.
Hey, thanks for the question. I was just curious on, you know, slide 6, the maintenance and growth CapEx during the quarter. How much of that annual step up was related to the outage costs that you guys mentioned? And, you know, should we expect that to kind of moderate in the next quarter, or how should we think about that?
Like I said, I expect CapEx, maintenance CapEx, and growth CapEx to be elevated through 2023 versus 2022 in total. We don't have complete visibility into Q4 at the moment. But I would say in 2023, you could expect our CapEx program to be higher than 2022.
Okay, understood. Thank you. And then my last question was just on, you know, following the UK carve out, are there any other, you know, assets that in your portfolio that you view as maybe having a better owner eventually, or any assets that you're looking at to replace the lost UK ops there?
Yeah, so we have all of our assets, you know, are prime assets for our company and our current business model, all in North America. So we have no intention at the moment to sell any assets, but we do have an active acquisition program. We've completed 3 acquisitions this year. As I said earlier, we spent $100 million. We expect those to be accretive to our credit agreement, credit profile on a pro forma basis. And we have an active acquisition pipeline that our guys are working on.
Okay, awesome. Thanks. That's it for me.
Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then 1. Our next question comes from Paul Batterton of Loomis Sales. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking the question. Just a quick one, I think, here. On the press release, on the LTM pro forma adjusted EBITDA breakdown, the $26 million of revenue and pricing adjustments and the $25 million of growth investments, can you just kind of remind us, is that are those revenue and pricing adjustments and growth investments that have already taken place?
Yep, Paul. Yeah, this is Jim. So there are quite a few components to each of those lines. Not all of them are necessarily in process now, but the capital is budgeted for them. All right, so it's a mix, and without having to go through like the specific detail, I can give you an example, for instance, of some of our new metals initiatives, you know, we talked about on the prepared remarks, right, the intent to continue to put some capital to work on extraction on the metal side, as well as improving metals quality broadly. So there are projects that are budgeted from a capital standpoint, you know, underway with POs, but haven't, you know, may not exactly be in process right now, but we are taking those and kind of pulling that forward. I think the language in the indenture and agreement allows us to do that. But many of the others are in process, right, or real.
Okay, so just kind of, I don't know, broad kind of general buckets. I mean, do you have out of that 51-odd million, do you have a sense or can you provide a sense of like in process versus out of process, or is that, or you know, kind of contemplated, or, you know, just kind of frame that without going line item by line item?
Yeah, I know what you're saying. Yeah, so the you know, I'm gonna take this, Paul, if you allow me to do it at kind of a high level here, rough justice in looking at what we have here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna say it's roughly 50-50 split.
Okay.
Between those two buckets, if we break it up that way.
Okay, that's helpful. And are the acquisitions that were kind of announced more recently that you kind of highlighted on the call, are those kind of embedded in there as well? I don't know how much disclosure that you guys have provided around, you know, kind of the earnings profile of those businesses.
Yeah, so the initial two acquisitions from earlier in the year are in that number. Those are, you know, the candidly, the numbers are there. The contribution is immaterial, candidly,
okay,
at this point, in the grand scheme of things. But we do have those put in, and in Q4 we'll add the more recent acquisition, right?
Okay, so those two that were disclosed within the last few weeks that you highlighted on the call, those are not in those numbers.
The two completed acquisitions, which are known as Miller and Biologic,
yes,
are in the number.
Yep.
The acquisition we announced recently, those which are actually three different companies, those are not yet in the pro forma, but they will be included for Q4.
Okay, awesome. Okay, that was it for me. Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
This concludes our question and answer session. I would like to turn the conference back over to Greg Kamm with any closing remarks.
Thank you, everyone. Thanks, Jim, for your support. It's been a great year for Covanta. The team continues to build out the executive management team. We'll have an announcement of a couple new hires probably the next week to fill out our executive management team with Muhammad Aziz. So things are really going well. We're looking forward to a strong 2023, positive wins on the energy market. We have some positive momentum on our sales efforts and things we're doing on pricing and volume, specifically in the MPFs. Improved reliability is a focus of the company, and I just wish everyone a very calm holiday season after a very rough period, and wish everyone a happy Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Happy Holiday season. To everyone, and continue to appreciate your guys' support of our business.
The conference is now concluded. Thank you for attending today's presentation, and you may now disconnect.